You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And after the show begins, a lot of conversation about the future of college athletics, and we will talk to Nicole Auerbach about that in just a minute. The big news just about 30 minutes ago coming out of Southern Cal, one of the most successful and respected ADs in the country, Mike Bone, at Southern Cal. He helped engineer their move to the Big Ten. He brought in Lincoln Riley, and he is leaving. We don't know why, other than he said he wants to spend more time with his family. Nicole joining us. Nicole, thank you very much. I know this story is in its first hour since it broke, but what are your thoughts on the news out of Southern Cal?
Shocking, especially in terms of the timing. My colleagues and I are making a lot of phone calls, but I can tell you that people, you know, certainly outside of his innermost orbit, were shocked to see it. And especially, you know, a resignation that's effective immediately. I think a lot of people, you know, their spidey sense gets going, wondering what could have caused that. But still trying to figure that out. I was told by a couple of different sources that he was not present at the Big Ten's meetings earlier this week in Rosemont, Illinois, and from each of the people who mentioned that to me, they all said that they thought it was odd at the time, but certainly, you know, they're shocked as anyone to see the news, especially, you know, less than 14 months away from USC joining the Big Ten. There is still so much that needs to be done, but I think we're going to certainly probably find out a lot more information and, you know, friction and relationships between academics and athletics at that school and just sort of other things that may have led to this, but it was definitely notable. We've heard from Mike Bone. He released a statement to the LA Times, and then Carol Folt, the president of USC, put this news out from the university side. So definitely a stunner in terms of the timing and just how much is still to go between the move from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten.
Nicole, when an athletic director resigns, he said he's 62, so certainly you could retire at 62, although most don't because there's such money in the job and prestige. It's usually resigning at the end of the school year, resigning the couple of months ago. For those who are saying that there's nothing to it, it's hard to believe that, the fact that it's effective immediately. I mean, are we drawing too much into that, or just, and I realize we don't know very much right now, we're only speculating.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what everyone's trying to figure out, including, you know, his peers in the industry that I'm hearing from who are, again, just really stunned by the timing of a move like this. You know, we've seen a lot of movement from athletic directors to presidents over these last few years, but he has not been at USC very long. He got there in 2019, obviously seismic moves, the move to the Big Ten, hiring Lincoln Riley. These were massive decisions and quite an eventful tenure. But yeah, I mean, typically, you know, you don't really see from a mutual decision an effective immediately resignation, right? You would think that there would be, you know, stay on for a transition period or finish up school year X and Y and Z. So I think there's still a lot of questions that my peers and I will be continuing to dig into, and, you know, hopefully we'll get more clarity around it. But I think for now, it's certainly safe to say that the timing is stunning and the way that it came down for it to be a resignation that is effective immediately.
That's usually talk show hosts who are resigning effective immediately. Nicole, let's talk about, because they're being thrown out, let's talk about realignment. And certainly there's a lot of changing chairs on the ship right now. What is going on? A week of turmoil in the ACC. The Pac-12 is always puzzling. What do you hear?
Well, it's definitely been a week full of frustrations. I think we saw a lot of private frustrations spill over into the public domain this week at the ACC meetings. But I can't say I'm surprised that There were a number of schools, obviously we know that there were seven, that have been exploring, looking at this grant of rights involving their lawyers. We've known that people have been doing that for some time. We've all just wondered, and we've said this a million times on this very show, you know, if someone can actually challenge it. Is someone going to do that legally, or is this thing too airtight and these schools are going to be locked in through 2036? That still remains the question, despite grumbling, despite frustrations. You know, you're still in the league. You're still moving forward and coming out of this. And when you talk to folks who were, you know, in Amelia Island this week and were in those meetings, I think there were a lot of hurt feelings and there was a lot of friction that first day as, you know, some of this stuff came out in media reports. But I do think by the end of it, I think people felt like, you know, some of the candor and the honesty was ultimately helpful to get to the end of the meetings and to see where people stood. And we did hear from Jim Phillips saying that it's not unusual for someone to be exploring their best options. I mean, we've seen how many times have we heard individual schools who claim that they're happy members of their league. You know, they're putting themselves out there and putting them in position that they could be an attractive candidate for someone else as well if they need that life raft. So, you know, I think coming out of this, we're kind of in the same spot we were earlier where we know there's some grumbling. We know there's frustration. We know there's schools in this conference that could be candidates if they're available for the Big Ten or the SEC, but until that someone, you know, can challenge that grant of rights or, you know, a couple of these very difficult avenues, you know, someone follows them, it's just hard to really extrapolate too much further without knowing that they're going to be able to get out. And someone described it to me as a chicken or the egg situation where, you know, if you're Clemson or Florida State and, you know, you want to figure out if you can get out of the grant of rights so that you go to the SEC or the Big Ten, for example, well, you kind of need to know that you would have a spot in one of those leagues, but you can't really know that you have a spot in one of those leagues until you know you can get out of the grant of rights. And so it's a very tough dynamic, I think, right now. And I totally understand the anxiety looking at the end of the decade, looking at projections, thinking about what it would mean for Florida State to be making $30 million less per year than Florida. That is a real reality, and there's a lot of anxiety around things like that. Even though you do have discrepancies in revenue right now, it's not like that, and that will just build on itself year after year. So I think we just remain in a state of anxiety and stress. But, you know, again, some of these private conversations and frustrations have spilled over publicly, which, you know, could be a good or a bad thing.
Nicole, you and one of your colleagues wrote this week about some other comings and goings. Where is the Big 12 right now? They've been a very expansion-happy league, and they don't seem like they're sitting still. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, we've known this for a while now, right, that Brett Yormark wants to be aggressive. Everyone knows very famously on his first day on the job, he said that they're open for business, and we know it's not a secret that he's interested in Colorado and Arizona and believes that they have a real shot to pick off some Pac-12 schools. The Pac-12 media deal isn't what it would need to be to keep that league intact the way that it is. But we also know that he is pursuing and exploring and researching and talking to other schools that are outside of the Pac-12. And he's someone who looks at these decisions in a way that feels a little bit different to the way that we think about realignment right now, and particularly in the wake of the OU-Texas move and USC-UCLA. We've talked a lot about brand value, and sort of I think of it as the idea of, okay, well, if you're going to ask someone to pay to watch a football game or a basketball game, who are the audiences and the brands that can drive that? And he's looking at this from a little bit more of the way we've been kind of characterizing is a professional sports lens of, you know, maybe you're looking at, you know, kind of buying low and selling high and creating value somewhere else. So if you look at, you know, a UConn, are you saying that there could be an opportunity with the New York market and that their football program with increased investment and resources in the Big 12 could improve, but you'd also be adding a basketball program that just won the national championship to the best basketball league in the country, right? So that's a different way than other people have been thinking about realignment and where you would want to add. Obviously, geography is not as important as it once was, but this is someone who really believes that basketball has been undervalued as a whole, and then thinks about markets. You know, there's also been reports of them looking at UNLV, and that's another one where you think of, okay, that's Las Vegas. This is becoming a sports capital of the Northeast. All of these professional leagues are getting in there. So maybe you're looking, instead of at the history of a program that has struggled, but at, again, the opportunity to get in when other people may not see the value and build it up. And so that's the way I kind of think of the way the Big 12 is looking at potential additions. And we know that they have looked at UConn as one of those schools. And I think there's been a very interesting reaction to that, because UConn worked so hard to get out of the American to get back to the Big East, a league that prioritizes basketball, which also meant that their football program was going independent. So I don't know that anything is necessarily imminent, but the Big 12 is certainly doing their research on a number of schools, and they may not all be the schools that people think would be driving decisions and realignment right now.
Great stuff, as always. One of the best around. Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic joining us as we head to the break here on a Friday afternoon. We continue with your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back as we continue here after that conversation with Nicole. Expired is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, you know, a couple weeks ago, I called you and was talking about Byrne at Alabama and talking about, you know, eventually he's going to resign and you Alabama fans don't have to worry about firing him and all that good stuff because of this gambling mess and all the mess that Alabama been through. Make a long story short, the USC guy just left all of a sudden. And you know that I know that you know there's a good chance of what happened. Little cookie jar, actually. You know, put your hand in the wrong cookie jar.
Well, I mean,
or expired, like that.
First of all, nobody knows, but I do know. I've never seen a sudden resignation of someone who was on the same page with his or her boss.
Exactly. Especially someone who just, did what he did and brought Lincoln Riley in.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
I mean, this guy has done. His record at SC is phenomenal.
Exactly. You're on the same page as I knew you would be. Unbelievable. Okay. And so something happened there, but whatever. We'll figure it out before long. It'll come out in the wash.
I'll also tell you, it's a very attractive job. And
yeah, they want to hire me. I'm ready.
Yeah, no, I mean, this was one of the more coveted jobs among the athletic director world.
I agree. They pay well. It's out in L.A. and people like that kind of stuff. And, it's a good job. You're going to the Big Ten, and we know how poor that conference is, so they got a chance to dominate it. So, anyways, the other thing I want to talk about is I just thought that the Arkansas people were delusional. Ohio State fan base, quit calling this show, please. They take 2 weeks off and then quit. okay? Please do that for us here in the South, because I can't take no more of how great Ohio State is. I can take Georgia. I can take Alabama. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I can even take Dwayne drinking some Old Duels and on the ship, you know, or whatever the hell he's on, talking about, you know, LSU, okay? But I can't take that Ohio State nonsense and just take 2 weeks off and then quit.
Thank you, Expired. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
No, I'm in L.A. I should check out that job opening, right?
I think you would be a serious contender. I forgot you were in Winslow, Arizona yesterday, so you should be on
yeah.
your way. Such a fine
well,
sight
Well, 2 days
see.
Ago, and I got there, and she's got a nice apartment right by the Television Academy of Sciences, if you know where that area is,
sure.
in North Hollywood. It's a nice walk, except every other block, there's an encampment of pup tents, so you know how that is. But I took the Amtrak down to see my twin. Yeah. Took the Amtrak down to see my twin brother in San Juan Capistrano. I'm going back now. It's a really nice ride. He was the Marine Corps pilot. Anyways, Paul, I don't know.
Were the Swallows there yet?
Yeah, exactly. On our birthday, March 19th. Yeah, they return every March. So I saw CBS... put out a poll of the top 25 Power 5 coaches. I'm going to go by memory, but I was going to mention a couple I thought you'd find interesting. Of course, it's Nick Saban, then Kirby, then Dabo Sweeney. That's a surprise. Lincoln Riley, your favorite, Jim Harbaugh. He's done well recently. Brian Kelly, I thought that was deserved. Kyle Willingham, you got to agree. Ryan Day, although he could be fired at the end of the season. Luke Fickle. And here's an interesting number 10, James Franklin, where you mix poor coaching with good recruiting. But this one you'll like, Jimbo Fisher, number 20. I think that's high, don't you?
I don't, because I think Jimbo Fisher, at the end of the season, his career will have recovered or he will be in dire straits. But I think I'm higher on Jimbo Fisher as a coach than most people.
Well, I know for the season, but we'll have to see if the new coordinator makes
If you go to Vegas, all the chips are in the middle. There's no holding back.
And Chip Kelly, I know you know him. He's number 13. I thought that was maybe a little high, too.
Yeah, I do know him, and I like the guy, and he's entertaining. But his records has been abysmal since he left Oregon.
It's going to get worse in the Big Ten.
Yeah. No,
okay, Paul, I'm headed to Vegas tomorrow.
Thank you, John. John's a tour over America. I should know. I've got a bookmark on my phone where he is. G is up next. G, good afternoon to you.
My friend, how you doing?
We are doing great. We're thinking about you. I hope everything is going okay.
Well, I'm having a few hardships, but I'm making it. You know, I'm gonna make it. You know, it's kind of hard to try to get on that kidney list, and it's like trying to get a house. But I'm gonna make it. You know, but what I was calling you about today was when I was in eighth grade, junior high, and Jim Brown Jr., who's the son of Jim Brown, was playing at a local high school in the College Park area where I grew up at. And Jim Brown was at Holmes games, and we was there one night, and and I saw Jim Brown, and went and approached him and everything. I was kind of afraid because he was always had that frown on his face, like don't step this way.
Angry. Yeah, you could break an arm just bumping up against Jim Brown.
Yes, sir, you sure can. So me and my friend, like I said, we was in middle school, but we was at the game that night. And I think his son was, was at the high school. I think he signed with USC that his senior year at a Lakeshore High School in College Park. But anyway, we went up, and my friend had the audacity to tell him, "Well, I like OJ better than I like you."
Oh my goodness!
And he looked at my friend, and he said, "My OJ is a wuss," like that and everything. And so I told him, I said, "Man, so we walked away." And I told him, "I said, man, you got some kind of gut, man." I said, "This guy, movies and." You gonna put Jay, and I think him and OJ was not the best of friends either, if I'm not mistaken. He was real
approachable,
Paul. He's gonna be missed and everything because what he did for the humane society of America, whatever.
Right.
And But, you know, and I just want to call and just say my
encounter.
Well,
I'm glad you did. Gene, we mentioned it earlier because Jim Brown passed away. He's considered, probably the – I mean, I mean, he is on some lists as the greatest college football player of all time and on some lists as the greatest professional. And,
He's my father. My father was crazy about him and Jackie Robinson. I'm my father, two best athletes my father ever talked about.
Well, you know something, Jackie Robinson has that reputation. A lot of people think Jackie Robinson is just a symbolic individual because he broke the color barrier, but that's not telling the story of how great he was. He had to be twice as good to do what he did.
Exactly. And also to be good at UCLA and like I said, but I mean, Paul, yes, sir, but I'm doing good. I had a rough day at dialysis today. I think I had a little too much fluid on me and everything, but they got that taken care of and everything.
Gee, how many days a week are you there?
3 days, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Well, yes, I've said this to you before, but I think of you often, and I don't think people appreciate, and I know you're not looking for anything other than a conversation about sports, of what people through on dialysis. It is, but I don't want to make things any more difficult, but I appreciate you calling in after a day like that.
I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to let you go. To me, it's just like being in Vietnam, because you make friends, and every day you call, maybe one of them is gone, because dialysis is a serious, people need to take it serious, because people die every day from it.
Gee, you be well. We'll be thinking of you, and I can't wait to talk again soon. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Be well. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Continuing here, Elliot is up next in Ohio.
Oh, Paul Feinbaum. Ohio State fans are going to call every day of the week because we got the number one football player in college, Marvin Harrison Jr., and the only way Georgia could win was to take him out by targeting him, a call that never got called. We should have won that game. We would have easily won that game. Cheaters, cheaters, cheaters.
One thing has not changed, the sniveling, unlikability of Ohio State fans. Elliot, you're making a complete fool out of yourself.
They're bringing it this year. That's what's going to happen.
You couldn't even beat Michigan at home.
Michigan's a whole different story.
No, Michigan's not a whole different story.
You can never count out a rivalry, Paul. Every rivalry game's that way. Ask Alabama why they get beat by Georgia every year.
You have literally been undressed 2 years in a row to your big rival. So what are you talking about?
It's coming this year, Paul. I'm telling you. And Harrison's going to be leading the way.
Elliot, you've got nothing to stand on. You sound like a loser here.
They took out the Texas quarterback the first game of the year. Come on, it's their MO. That's what they do. They take people out with targeting calls. Have you seen that?
Elliot,
it's ridiculous.
Buy yourself some Kleenex and cry somewhere else. Camp is up next. Good afternoon.
Sorry, Paul. That call. Elliot saying something bad about Alabama and me being a Ohio State. My daddy. If I can say it this way, my daddy always said, "Oh, how I hate Ohio State.
That's funny.
But I tell you, I originally when I called earlier and your friends come in here asked me what I wanted to discuss. I originally wanted to discuss Alabama or discuss Nick Saban and Coach Bryant.
Sure.
And how they went about recruiting and how about they selected teams for the future. I mean, we all know that Coach Bryant was able to pull in the best, the best prospects from across the country just to deny other universities from having those players. But at the same time, having Nick Saban, Coach Saban, select players dramatically, honestly, to make the best program that he possibly could. I'd like to get your opinion on that.
Well, I think they're fascinating individuals, completely different in one respect. Bryant coached in a different era. Although I firmly believe Bryant would have been successful in any era. He was the most adaptable coach considering what he had to deal with throughout the span of his career. But
I would say agreed.
Yeah.
But you have to admit that he did play that card of I'm going to take players that
yeah,
I know
well, absolutely. Well, of course he did. Yes.
Mine.
But
And he
did it to a fault.
And
I agree. But he also he proved his worth later when he did adapt. He did change with the times, and then he did what is probably the singular moment of his coaching career is when he completely gutted his offensive philosophy by bringing in the wishbone. It gave him the greatest run of his career, which is pretty amazing when you consider what he had done previously.
Well, I would say the wishbone and also Pat Dye, really.
Well, I mean, Pat Dye was there for 9 years, but Bryant always had great coaches. It didn't matter. Sure. I don't think any one. As much as I love Coach Dye, Dye replaced Stallings, and then but the only thing Coach Bryant really didn't do was I think he wanted to leave earlier. I don't think he wanted to coach that last year, but he told me the day of his final game that he stuck around because he hated to completely change everyone's life. He was so indebted not only to his assistants but the staff, the families, that he did not want to walk away. That is often something you have to think about. I don't know if it's much of an issue with Nick Saban because I think they're different type of individuals. But that kept Coach Bryant there another year or two. I'm talking about after he broke the record. Yeah, he thought he wanted that record and he got it in 1981. Pat is up next in Georgia. Pat, go right ahead.
Hello, Paul. This has nothing to do with sports, as you probably realize, but I just came home from my Mermaids of Osprey happy hour, and I thought, what a good time to call Paul.
So you've already been to happy hour.
Well, yes, but we're on Eastern time, so we're an hour ahead of you.
No,
we're
I hear you. It's 5:37 where we are too. So, which can you give me 1 second, Pat? Hey, Randy.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's happy hour. Let's get going here. I mean, why are we sitting here with bottled water while Pat is has already been to happy hour? So give us some insight into what you've been chugging down. I know that's not a proper phrase.
Okay, well, first of all, this is my water aerobics class, and we are known as the Mermaids of Osprey. And every Friday, we have a happy hour that starts at 3 down at the River Club at the Tiki Hut. And we just gather down there, and we just have a lot of fun. I only drink white wine, though.
White wine?
So I had white wine.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I don't drink, white wine does not agree with me, nor does red wine.
Doesn't agree with me.
But, what is white wine, if you have a glass of white wine, is that going to affect you? You need a few, right?
Yes. Okay. I'm a very small person, so one glass does affect me.
Right.
But I drove the golf cart because it's just here in our neighborhood, so I was okay to drive.
Okay, I hear you.
But then tomorrow, Paul, I have poker.
So what time is poker?
Yeah. Poker is at 1 o'clock, and yes, it does involve wine also. And I really don't drink that much, but it's just these things. And then last Tuesday, I had Bunko at 6 o'clock, and that involved wine also. But it's not an everyday thing, just an every...
Pat, I don't know. I want your life. It just sounds like a lot more fun than what I'm doing every afternoon.
Oh, Paul, my life is so much fun. I mean, you know, I'm old, I'm retired, and I have so much fun. And that's the reason I called you. I just wanted to share.
I am glad. You've made my day.
I love your program.
Thank you. So Pat has Bunko wine, aerobics wine, and poker wine.
That's right. That's all.
Okay, Pat. I'm heading over to Georgia one day, and I'm gonna hang out with you guys for a week, and I'm gonna learn to drink wine, and I'm not gonna do another thing the rest of my life other than hang out with Pat and drink wine. And if you want to call me a wino, go ahead. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon. How are you feeling? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I want to thank you publicly this afternoon for making me who I am today. You know, 4 years ago, I remember you said, AC, when it comes to live sports radio, it's no holds barred. These are your exact words, and I took that into consideration. I pondered myself. Then it made me a beast. It made me a monster. You, Mr. Feinbaum. And as far as all those redneck Alabama, I'm talking about Joe in Red Bay. You're just another moron. Want to keep mentioning my name. Why don't you just call me Getty AC? It's a start for you. You're a loser. You fat Americans make me sick. I vomit all the time when I think about you, idiots. No, I don't think about you, idiots, when I hear you, idiots. Because all you're doing is living on Donald Trump's damn statement. Problem is, Mr. Feinbaum, you're too lazy. The garbage. The morons. Just like Jim from Tuscaloosa, Legend, and all those garbage idiots like Patty Green, whoever she is. But Mr. Damn Feinbaum, again, waking up the monster AC. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I freaking love you. I'll holler at you on Monday. Page 54 is my page. I freaking love.
I was feeling good until that call. We will take a break, and I will have some wine during that break, like a bottle of it to recover. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We'll head down to the Baton Rouge Regional in just a few minutes. Taylor Pleasant's getting ready as LSU about to take on Prairie View in the first round of the tournament. Let's get back to the calls. And Cody is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Cody.
Hey there, Paul. If I heard correctly, you had Nick Schultz on earlier going over the top 100 players in college football currently. Is that correct?
Right.
My biggest bone with that is KJ Jefferson was nowhere to be found on that list. And am I right to be shocked in reading that? I mean, nowhere on the list. They had the audacity to stick. I mean, they've got Washington QB Michael Penix Jr. at 11. They've got Bo Nix from Oregon at 13. Devin Leary from Kentucky's at 96. I mean, there's no way I can be convinced that KJ isn't deserving of that
top 100. Joe Milton is on that list as well, so let's see. By this list's account, KJ would be, what, the fourth best quarterback in the SEC? Is that right?
That's what I can read from it, but I can't agree that his stats reflect that. I mean, I would argue he's one of the strongest returning quarterbacks coming into the NCAA this year.
Well, I think he certainly. I think he certainly is that within the SEC.
Okay. Do you think that the new coordinators might have hurt him in that ranking?
I think some of it was last year, but I can't let that affect me. I know there were injuries. There were a lot of things wrong last year. But I agree with you. I think he's at the top of the list when it comes to returning QBs. In the SEC.
Well, I love to hear that, Paul. Woo pig suey, and you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you very much. Nice of you to call in. Gerald is in Arkansas. Hey, Gerald.
Hey, Paul. I was calling because I heard this fellow named G.
Yes, he called
in. He said he's on dialysis, and that's what I have been doing. They had a treatment this morning. I go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I just want to tell him to hang in there, and I know what he's going through.
Gerald, how long have you been doing this?
Oh, I guess about 3 years.
Hmm. Well, I want you to know this, and I've gotten to know G very well, nobody can say, oh, I know what you're going through. I can't. There's no way. I have had friends who have been through it, and I've had friends whose family have been through it. And all of those people out there, including you and G, are very courageous because it is one of the more difficult things to go through.
Yeah, and I have two daughters I have a daughter that's on dialysis. She lives in Dallas, and then I have another daughter. She had a kidney transplant. So it's something, but hey, it's good talking to you, man. And
Gerald, thank you for sharing that with us, and you be well. You take care of yourself.
All right, thank you. Go
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. That's truly stunning. Wow. John is up next in Florida. Hello, John.
Hello, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. I live in the Villages, Florida. I grew up in Georgia. I went to school at Mississippi State University and graduated from there. I lived in Canada for 18 years. And that stupid guy that called you from Canada, he's the moron. And the people of Canada have got to be totally embarrassed by him. But I need to tell you, the people in Canada don't understand anything about American football. So one thought is you may want to add where in Canada it came from.
Yeah, I think he's from Toronto or Hamilton. I'm trying to remember.
Toronto or Hamilton. I lived on the border between the two of them for 18 years, so I understand that.
The only reason I know that, John, is he sent me something in the mail, and it had I think it had a Hamilton. Is that Hamilton, Ontario?
Yes, Hamilton's between Burlington is between Hamilton and Toronto, and they all just kind of run together.
Yeah,
place.
I know nothing about Canada, by the way, so I'm just reading my mail. Well,
what I was thinking was if it came from Quebec, that may explain a lot.
Yeah,
that's all.
Well, thank you. Yeah, for all of our friends in Canada, I know you can hear this show in Canada. AC is not a Canadian. He was born in Bangladesh. He's lived most of his life in New Jersey. And I feel responsible because he was such a bad caller a couple of years ago. I told him to amp up his game. So it is my fault. I did create, was that Frankenstein? Is that what we created here? Mm-hmm. Or was it Dr. Frankenstein? I can't remember. I forgot that movie.
Well,
was it Dr. Frankenstein? Yeah, so Dr. Frankenstein created the monster. So call me Dr. Frankenstein. I'd be proud to be called that. Kyle is in Texas. So hello, Kyle.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
Kyle, we are doing well.
So tell me what you think about Texas and Alabama this year.
I cannot wait. I think it's going to be one of the games of the year. And right now I'm leaning toward Alabama in that game because I think Alabama is going to surprise a few folks. But it's a big moment for Texas, though. They need a huge season.
Yeah, they're loaded with talent.
They do. I mean, this is the most talented Texas team in a while, but we've heard that before. And I like Sarkisian, but he's yet to show he can do much other than recruit because he does not have a lot on the resume. Anyway, thank you for the call. We still have an hour to go, and we'll take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. It's been a busy show, a lot of news out there we've been chatting about, but we're not going anywhere. We'll be right back.